Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we welcome you on board. Looking forward today to having your calls, your dialogue, and discussion. Love to have your input. Delighted to have you call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Gets you straight through to the studios and right to our microphone so we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue of today. Let me remind you before we get into our dialogue and discussion of the seminar this Friday evening and Saturday. Conservative Theological University Summer Series wraps up with the August seminar, Walk Through the Bible. Wonderful study. It's an overview of Scripture starting in Genesis through the Revelation. Dr. Neil Phelps, one of our professors in Conservative Theological University, will be teaching that seminar. 6:30 to 9:30 on Friday evening, 9 o'clock until approximately 3 o'clock on Saturday. There'll be a break for lunch, and the university provides a light luncheon, so you will not have to leave the campus. But we're looking forward to having you join with us on that. As you look at the study, Walk Through the Scripture, gives you an opportunity to get a handle on the Word of God, and especially the theme of redemption throughout the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll receive the textbook, the syllabi, the lecture, and the lunch, all for a small fee of $99. In fact, when you analyze it, and I don't say this in any ulterior motive, at $99, it's not even offsetting the delivery of the seminar cost. But we want you, the general public, to participate. If you're a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, if you're saved, want to know the Scripture better, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to do so. Or you can enroll in the university and take it as a credit toward your associate's degree or your bachelor's degree. Some of our students will be participating, those that are already on track with their academic program. But we encourage you to participate, to join in. You can enroll, you can register either online or by telephone. You can call 262-8275, 904-262-8275. Leave your contact information for someone to get back with you and get your registration form filled out. Or you can just simply show up at the door about 30 minutes early on Friday afternoon and get your enrollment, your registration done, and take care of the cost thereof. Looking forward to having you join with us. That's this Friday evening at 6:30, and then on Saturday morning, 9 until approximately 3 in the afternoon. Walk Through the Bible. Wonderful opportunity. Or you can go online, ladies and gentlemen, info@conservative.edu, and leave your contact information for someone to get back with you and get you registered for this wonderful summer series, the wrap-up of our summer series, Walk Through the Bible Seminar, Friday evening and Saturday during the course of the day. Looking forward to having you participate in that. We're located 1 mile south of I-295, right in the heart of Mandarin, on Old St. Augustine Road. It'd be a delight to meet you. It'd be a delight to have you participate in that wonderful opportunity for you to expand your understanding of the Word of God, to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth, to be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and with fear, as the Scripture directs us to do as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number to reach us that we can have discussion about this issue today is 401-1413. But let me remind you, there are a lot of issues that we're faced with. And as we face issues on a daily basis, as we encounter those issues in life, we ought to do so based on the authority of Scripture. I know there are those out there that will say, well, you ought not to face issues. Everything ought to be mamsy-pamsy, and you ought to just not ruffle feathers or say anything about how people demean the Scripture or challenge the Scripture, reject the Word of God, or in some cases say that we need to leave the Old Testament out and unhitch from the Old Testament, or to say that if it's a difference between science and the Bible, we ought to choose science, as a very popular preacher has been saying recently, or as the Pope has said, we need to understand that he said that hell does not exist. And I could go on and on. Some say that we ought not to face issues like that. There are some that have the goosebump theology that everything ought to make everyone feel good. Well, Jesus didn't know anything about that. The Apostle Paul didn't know anything about that. Daniel didn't know anything about that. Peter didn't know anything about that. And I could go on and on throughout the characters of the Scripture, both Old and the New Testament. And you see, God calls us as Christians to be the watchman on the wall, to confront evil and wickedness, and to confront it with truth. And ladies and gentlemen, just as there was a warning in the Scripture about false prophets in the past and false prophets in the future, we're at that era today that we need to do so. And I say that because some reject the broadcast in relationship to saying something about evil and wickedness, and we ought to confront it with the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to face issues from a central biblicist position, and that is, what does the Word of God say? It's not a matter of some ideological, philosophical dogma from a denomination or some ideological, philosophical feeling based on what feels good or sounds good. And that's the reason it's so necessary for Christians to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and cease being silent in society. We need to be salt and light. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a question today. Christians' response to racism in America. What should the Christians do or say in relationship to the promulgation of racial divide in America today? Well, let me just introduce the subject by a little illustration that I think you'll understand. It's bringing the, if you please, the message right down to the bottom shelf so that all of my listeners can understand what we're going to say and where we're going. Have you heard the latest news about Starbucks? Well, you know, Starbucks has publicly said back, I reckon it's been a year ago now, if you have a weapon, that is, if you have a permit to carry and you're legally carrying a weapon, if you have a weapon, do not visit Starbucks. Just don't even come in, they said. And then they said, recently Starbucks is going to eliminate plastic straws. They want to make sure we protect the sea turtles. Only one in the world's ever been found with a straw stuck up his nose. And as a result of that, now the loose lax lost liberals and the, I call it the squirrel-loving tree huggers, all of a sudden want to take away plastic straws. That's their prerogative if they want to. Then thirdly, perhaps you've heard, Starbucks praises and financially supports the sodomite lifestyle. Well, that's all bad enough, but it's a trickle down. Starbucks CEO recently said, quote, white men are the root of all evil. Yep, that's exactly right. Comes right from the CEO of Starbucks. Here's the article. Starbucks newly appointed CEO, Rosalind Brewer, has shocked the shareholders after it was revealed she believes white men are the root of all evil. According to Brewer, she says she is extremely triggered, whatever that means, triggered by the sight of white men in business. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not something that's a stench in the nostrils of God and should be objectionable to any person, especially to Christians, nothing ever could be. But ladies and gentlemen, since when is it politically correct to judge a person by the color of his skin? Since when is it the prerogative of society today to make a determination that somehow, some way, that a white man, or if you put it conversely, a black man ought to be rejected because of the color of his skin? It's reverse racism that we're finding today, politically correct, where what if Starbucks had made the proclamation that black men are the root of all evil? Would you go back to Starbucks? I wouldn't. Would you go to Starbucks if the Starbucks had said that white men are the root of all evil? We stopped going to Starbucks years ago simply because of their liberal position and their liberal embracing of things that's antithetical to Christianity and to spirituality. What if the media were to hear any public official or any corporate ownership or any corporate CEO say something in relationship that black men are the root of all evil. Well, the media and the politicians and the politically correct loosey-goosey crowd would absolutely bounce off the moon if that were to be said, and rightly so, because it ought not to be said on either spectrum of the racial issue. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that God created only one race. It's the human race. God created the human race. And God created all men in his image. And Tim Kaine, the former Hillary Clinton campaign VP, said, quote, "White should become the minority in America." Yes, you heard it exactly right. Let me just read you a brief little blurb of that. According to Democratic vice presidential nominee, white people need to experience the kind of oppression that black people have experienced before America can truly be equal. The cat's out of the bag, he said. Many who believe that all these movements and protests started by Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Panthers, et cetera, et cetera. He goes on to say, while speaking to a group of Baptists in New Orleans, Tim Kaine suggested that in order to achieve equality between races, white people must be willing to submit themselves to the state of repression. Since when is reverse discrimination authoritatively correct? It's bad enough that in history past 400 years ago, it was a major, major, major difficulty. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it was the Democratic Party that didn't want to give up racism, didn't want to give up the Tom Crow laws, and the Jim Crow laws, didn't want to give up things of that nature. And it was the Democratic Party that started the Ku Klux Klan. And now we have the Democratic Party and the loosey-goosey liberals on the left side that somehow, some way, becoming little gods in determining what ethnicity and what group should dominate in America. There ought not to be any such thing. God looks at the heart and not at the skin color. In fact, in 1 Samuel 16:7, the scripture says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not a man as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with racism in America, but it's being ginned up and promulgated by the liberals that want to tear down and destroy the home and the family, want to destroy the church and the cohesiveness in the political scenario that we're seeing in America today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we especially as Christians must reject and confront the attempt to divide and to demean and to destroy the cohesiveness of this wonderful United States of America. May I remind us, when we get to heaven, we're not going to see skin color. Won't be any such thing as ethnicity. As I reminded you before, the scripture says in Genesis that God created the human race. He created us male and female, created he them, the scripture says. This is the reason it's so onerous to talk about the gender identity garbage, where somehow, some way, you can wake up and feel feminine, although you're totally masculine, or where you can decide that you want to go into women's bathroom, and though you're fully male. We have ginned up all kinds of divisiveness in America. And Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So what I'm doing today, I'm calling on every child of God, every Christian, every believer, if you've been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, stand up and publicly reject the racist divide that's being ginned up in many areas by the political left. And in many areas, by the Black Lives Matter, and by the way, the three ladies, it's the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, all Marxist-Leninist background in the philosophy of Leninism and Marxism that's totally destroyed the mindset in America about white and black issues. I'm bothered by it, if you can't tell by the sound of my voice. May I remind you, may I also further say, here is a further statement from Tim Kaine. Why can't anybody see that this kind of policy isn't going to bridge the racial divide? This is an article in response to it. It's only going to make it bigger. It's this type of thinking created by the Obama administration that got us here in the first place, this writer says, not to mention that these types of policies are bad even for white Democrats. Ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with an issue in America today that should cause every Christian to be saddened and every Christian to determine, I'm not going to sit down, shut up, and be silent about the issue. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. If you challenge what I'm saying, if you disagree with what I'm saying, if you agree with it but have comments that you want to add, in either case, call 401-1413. I'd love to hear from you. Love to have dialogue and discussion with you. I'm not going to debate it. I'm simply going to take a stand on what is biblically, ethically, morally, theologically, doctrinally sound and what we should say and do. You may disagree, and that's your prerogative. But here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, Professor demands white editors quit positions of what they're calling power. A radical Fresno State University professor who celebrated the death of Barbara Bush now has unleashed a racist rant against white editors. Quote, at some point, all of us in the literary community must demand that white editors resign. It's time to step down and hand over the positions of power, this particular professor said. We don't have to wait for them to mess up. The fact is that they hold this position is messed up enough. And I have covered the terminology that was used because that was not the terminology that this wretched mouth liberal professor used. Her university quietly denounced the tweet, and the radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh said people of this kind are demented and deranged. And I'd have to second that and say amen. It is exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to listen to the Looney Tunes on the left and allow it to determine our position as Christians. Let me remind us again, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Anything that divides America, divides the family, divides our nation, divides the body of Christ is from a wicked, evil, demented, demeaned heart. And the Bible is very clear on that issue. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad to see what is happening. The New York Times hires a Harvard professor that, according to the lead article on that subject, calls her a honky hater. Sarah Young, J-E-O-N-G, the newest member of the New York Times editorial board, and her public hater of white people. And I just do not even want to touch on it. I've got a sheaf of pages here with her quotes about hating white people. She said, man, it's kind of sick how much I enjoy being cruel to old white men. And she goes on to talk about white men are dogs, in her opinion, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lowered the standard for the academic scene in America today. Here is the further article on that. Who is Sarah Young, this rabid anti-white bigot? She's the newest member of the New York Times editorial board. The Times hired her knowing that she has this staggering history of public racial radical hatred. They're saying she was not forced to do it by racist. In other words, she's saying she's a racist because she was forced to do it by racist. That's irrational, circular reasoning that simply won't cut the mustard, as I call it. It's an impossibility. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the danger of the prefaces we're on today and understand the problem. Here's an article that says, white racism is becoming a popular university at university campuses across America. It says colleges are tackling whiteness from the literatures and the lectures of the white privilege to the white supremacy. The one is the Florida Gulf Coast University professor. The latest course is sure to confound conservatives. Ted Thornhill, an assistant professor of sociology, will start teaching a course titled White Racism, where students will learn how to challenge white supremacy. Further, the article says, I didn't want to focus exclusively on or too largely on these hate groups. There are different types of white racism at the interpersonal level and institutional level. Ladies and gentlemen, I just discovered today, you know why? So many of these professors are introducing, writing, and teaching these garbage courses at the taxpayers' expense in the public universities and colleges. Because now the professors are paid on a scale based on the, the intensity of what they're teaching and on the radical subjects they teach. And the more radical the subject, the higher their paycheck for teaching it. This is the kind of courses that increase the simple pay scale for the professors. More and more teaching that because of the dollars that's being provided to them for teaching race-baiting racism in our colleges and universities. I'm saddened by it, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, we need to recognize the danger. just as you have heard, just as you have today, the Marxist Black Lives Matter. But we recognize that this does not represent all Americans' black population. So we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's also these white radicals, just as was found in Charlottesville, and the tragedy there does not represent the American whites. We're looking at an aberrant, evil, wicked heart on both sides. And as Christians, we ought to be able to discern and to direct our thoughts and our words in challenging that on either side. Black Lives Matter is a racist group challenging and chiding and wanting to destroy white people and especially police officers. And yet we think somehow, some way, you can publicly commend them, and the media go bonkers and bananas on showing every one of the riots and the marches that they're involved in, just as they have high profile the Charlottesville garbage. And now the idea is that the problem in America comes from the white people. I am offended by it, and I pray that you are. I am staggered by it, and I pray that you are. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, just as the New York Times hired the Harvard-educated, as they publicized it, honky hater, let's just reverse this story. How politically correct would it be to say the same thing about a Jewish or an Asian or a black or any other nationality? How politically correct would it be, and would it be embraced if a person were to come on the scene, be hired by a university or hired by the New York Times, that publicly says, I hate Jews, or I'm going to do everything I can to impede and impel the destruction of the black folks in America? It would be rejected out of hand. But yet there seems to be a glee on the part of the fake news today. There seems to be on the part of fake news an applause of one that will step forth and come on the scenes and talk publicly about racism in a reverse sense of hating white people. Ladies and gentlemen, it is incendiary, and it is dangerous to be in the position that we're in America today. And I'm calling you as Christians, black or white, I'm calling on you to stem it, to stop it, to stand on the as watchmen on the wall and reject that from any source that you might hear it. Oh, I know there'll be folks that'll call or write or email and say, why, you have touched on a very hot subject and I don't like it. Had an email yesterday from someone that didn't like the fact that I'd called out Andy Stanley because of his speech and statements antithetical to biblical truth, saying we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. Well, Andy Stanley's already put his foot in his mouth several times on other issues where he talked about if it comes to evolution or science, the science of evolution. He said, and I quote, of course, we know we ought to accept the science and reject the Bible if there's a difference there. And I could go on and on. That's not the subject of today's issue. But listen very carefully. We're to witness today the rabid events that are taking place in Black Lives Matter and the left-wing liberals with a Marxist racial radical agenda in society. President Obama set the pace with his radical racial division in America. Since when do we call radical racist courses of the public colleges, since when do we call it academia? Since when do we recognize it as being academically sound and a course that ought to be taught? State colleges after state colleges across America with taxpayer dollars are offering courses. Let me give you the title of several of them. And by the way, I stopped the research on it after I got to 8, 10, 12, 15. And across America today, we have probably 20, 30, 40 colleges that are offering courses like this. And in some cases, they have a minuscule number, they'll never tell you, a minuscule number of participants, sometimes courses that otherwise would have 30, 40, 50 in a class in a public university. Some of these courses being offered would have as low as 5 or 10 students in the classroom, but they'll never tell you that. They want it to come across sounding like it is academically sound and to come across with the mindset that it's coming from the purest of hearts and purest of motives, and it's not. But here's some of the titles. Abolition of Whiteness, The Problem of Whiteness, White Racism, White Privilege, and I could go on and on and on. Let me just give you some examples of some of these courses. I touched on it earlier just by way of reference. A controversial class on white racism started in the Florida Gulf Coast University. The class, according to its course description, will confront white racism and white supremacy. It will examine the racist ideologies, the laws, the politics, and the practices that maintain white radical domination. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that could be any more incendiary or any more divisive than that. And I challenge every child of God, every Christian to run from it, to stand up and confront it. This article goes on to say, clearly not all white people are racist. Some of them even are anti-racist. However, all people radicalized as white derives in some measure material and psychological benefits by virtue of being radicalized as whites, end quote. And there's another portion of that article said blacks, Latinos, and other people of color indeed can harbor racially prejudiced views. And that is a positive, absolute correct statement. It regardless of the skin color, it can be Asian, it could be Oriental, it could be anything from Africa, it could be anything from Western civilization, and it's from the heart that these things are devised. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't we see the media, the fake news, stand up and publicize for America to understand what's happening in South America, South Africa, I mean. South Africa right now, some of the white farmers that in their families have owned land and farms for over 600 years are now being displaced and in some cases slaughtered in order to take the property because of the radical racism in the leadership role in Johannesburg, South Africa, as I speak. A dear friend of mine that is not Caucasian, but is from Johannesburg, South Africa. He is brokenhearted to see what his homeland is doing in relationship to the radical leftist view of individuals. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we need to take a stand as Christians. I believe we have a caller on the line. We've got about a minute and a half to go. Would you share with us your thoughts or comments, please?
Yeah, I'll be quick. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Just to digress a minute, theologically, where do you think the races had their inception, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, before or after? Or give me your thoughts on that, and I'll hang up. Thank you.
I think it comes from both Ham, Shem, and Japheth. I think it also comes as a result of the Tower of Babel, when God dispersed and diversely spread the people around the globe and broke up the languages. I think it was from that source. When God created man, he created man and woman. And then from Ham, Shem, and Japheth, we find the spreading of the different races around the globe. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand there's nothing wrong with the different races. There's a whole lot wrong with the fact and the feeling from the hearts of some that we can have animus and hatred based on someone's skin color. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, fake news will not tell us the truth of what's happening in this divisiveness around the nation and across our land today and what it's doing to tear down and destroy. Let me just quickly, in the last few seconds that we have on this broadcast, how can a Christian respond to racism? First of all, the scripture is clear that all people are created in the image of God. Secondly, all people are equal in status and sight before God. Thirdly, favoritism is sin. Fourthly, Jesus commands that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And fifth, Jesus Christ died for every human being, regardless of race, skin, or color. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take the stand as a Christian ought to and call people to faith in Jesus Christ and recognize that there is no redeeming value in the courses that's being offered in these schools. There is nothing with this that's academic. This is race baiting, and it formats race and division. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, America's educational system is 34th around the globe. That ought to tell us something. Thank you for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.